important to be color coordinated. So your glasses have to match. And if you're a Starbucks person, your coffee cup must match. And having said that, I've got purple socks on. And so I stand before you coordinated. Now I'll sit down and get on with the meeting. And it goes along with my topic, really. It goes along with the topic, the untapped powers in the self. I had trouble with this title because I couldn't remember it. Untapped powers in the self. I kept saying the power within you, using the power within you. I couldn't remember the name of the topic, but I finally got it because I wrote it down. Now, the topic today is out of this book, The Essential Ernest Holmes, which the study group has been studying for weeks. A long time. So that is the beginning reference. But I soon segued into this one by Ernest Holmes, Your Invisible Power. This book is brilliant. This book is the exact same book in purse size. And years ago when I worked in the operating room in Swedish Hospital in Seattle, I had a copy of this tucked in my pocket for the quiet moments when I could dip into it and learn on the job, as it were. This book, Kitchen Table Wisdom, by Rachel Remen, who is a medical doctor, this book is stories. I love stories. You know her?
I'm reading it right now.
You're reading it right now. It's wonderful. And there's certain pages. Allison, take down the following. Page, I believe it's 36, 69, and 108 that go right along with today's topic. 36, 59, and 108. I told people long ago that I would never, I was done speaking. No more public speaking for me, unless I was passionate about the topic. And it's been a long time coming, but I got a topic I'm passionate about. I'm absolutely passionate about this topic. Untapped. It's the word untapped. Let's call it tapping into the powers within. Take the pad that comes with the hotel or your own notebook and draw a big circle for yourself. Cover the whole page and then divide it into quarters. And in the top left quarter, write down self with a capital S. In the top right quarter, write down powers. In the bottom left corner, how to use it. In the bottom right quarter, results. Now, if you follow along with me and something jumps out at you, I'm going to talk about it section by section. And if something jumps out at you, write it in the appropriate quarter. Now, if I seem to be mixing one section up with another, write it wherever it feels right to you. That way you'll go out of the room with something of your own. And we'll use that circle you create for yourself after the break in the get-together we do then. So, I've talked about the books. You've got your circles, and just write down whatever comes to mind. The first part I'm going to talk about is what... I'm going to scrap the circle for a minute. Why I'm passionate about this topic is I believe that all our lives, all of us make the same... do the same dance. Our parents teach us this is how it is. And we go along with it, or we don't, but a lot of times we do. And so there are rules in our family. We go to school, and there are teachers, and there are more rules there. And then maybe we go on to college, and that has its rules and regulations, and we buy into those rules. Someday when we're going to be an adult, we won't have to bother with the rules, right? But then we become an adult and we go to work and we get our first job. And lo and behold, there are rules there. We have a boss and he says, or she says, this is the way you'll do it. Oh, there were more rules in the hospital when I was a nurse than you could shake a stick at. You know, you can only breathe it on the minute, so to speak. It was very structured. I was in the operating room on the open heart surgery team, and I tell you, every one of the four of us on that team had to function the same way. So rules had sort of a purpose there. Okay, you grow up a little bit more, and maybe you discover sooner or later you're on a spiritual path, and you may or may not go to a church or a spiritual community, or you get a teacher for yourself, or a guru, or a minister. And what happens there? There are more right and wrong ways to do things, right and wrong ways to be, right and wrong ways to believe. Do it this way. If you're spiritual, you'll do it thus and so. In our church, we do it this way. And what do we do then? We may be starting to wake up a little bit and we're starting to question it. However, the tide is rushing all, and it's hard to go against the tide. If there are set ways of doing things in our group, in the Sterling Study Group, we do it thusly. If I'm not saying it's like that, but if that's how you experience it, perception is the beginning of the journey. I don't know who said that. I think it's in here. I don't know. It's good anyway. If that's how we experience it, that's our reality for ourselves. And something has to happen in our lives for us to see that that isn't how it's meant to be. And usually it's something big. It could be losing a job, it could be losing a spouse, it could be losing our health, it could be losing our possessions, losing our home. Whatever it is, something shakes us up and makes us stop. That in our life is the period, the time of opportunity. It came for me, big time. I had some along the way, but I didn't pay attention to them, and I didn't get the message. It came to me big time when I was 62 years of age, and I got the message then. And from that moment on, I started on this journey of realizing that I didn't have to buy into all these rules and regulations and labels and ideas and licenses and certificates and this and that and the other. It wasn't necessary. There was only one thing necessary for me to understand and discover and follow. And that was, what is mine to do? What am I here on this earth for? What does Spirit want of me? That was the important thing. And I asked that question at the age of 62 and got the answer that seems to have led to my current lifestyle. I'm still following the same question as it branches off this way, that way. It's taken me 78,000 miles since then. And it's taken me all around this country, not into every state yet, but it will eventually, I'm sure, take me into every state and overseas. No doubts. When that will happen, I don't know. Now, why is this so? Why is it so important that we are able to see the importance of being our own person rather than being and buying into what everyone else expects and wants us to be? It's important because of spiritual truth. And spiritual truth, that's where I come into today's topic. Spiritual truth says that there is only God in this universe, whether you call it an intelligent energy, a creative force, the power, whatever your name for God is, a higher power, that's all there is. Everything hinges on that one premise. If that's all there is, then that's me. Mm-hmm. That's all I am, is a part of that wholeness. So what is myself? What is the self that Ernest Holmes is talking about? It's universal wholeness expressed as me with my name. Universal wholeness expressed as Gail with her name, etc., etc., etc. It's our higher mind. It's what we call our soul. It's our God self. It's presence. This intelligent whatever it is that we call God is a presence, is a power, is an intelligence. It's all there is. It is the I Am. And that's what each one of us is, the I Am. That's what our self, with a capital S, is. It's the I Am. And it is the life of the universe, the life of the Creator within us. It dwells at the very heart of, I used to say, it's my essence. It's at the very heart of my being. It's at the heart of every cell in your body. That's a clue to staying healthy. It's the heart of every cell. So that's what the self is, and you could, let's see if I have anything I missed out. No. That's what the self is, and you can add to it for yourself. So what are the powers then, that these untapped powers within ourselves? If the self is the presence of God within me, the powers are the powers of God. The powers of creativity, the powers of healing, the powers of abundance, the powers of truth, the powers of beauty, the powers of harmony and wholeness. I summed it all up in three very important words. The power is within the mind of God. My mind is of the universal mind of God. The power is in the law that lives within us, the law of God, which is the law of cause and effect. The power is in the presence of God, which is within us. So the three words that I put for myself are mind, law, and presence. But put whatever is significant for you. Now, how do we use this power? With this kind of power in our very own being, we should all be living magnificent lives. Incredibly. We should be manifesting. Before we started, in the prayer that Connie was doing, because I'm blessed with the ability to not hear very clearly sometimes across the room, I had to do my own prayer. So my own prayer was, I see those rooms, those chairs filled with people, because it will balance the energy in the room. So I'm sure Connie's prayer was beautiful and manifested, and my prayer manifested, so thank you for filling those chairs like I prayed. But we should be doing that all the time in our lives. Troward has a statement, how to use the power. We use the power by using our mind in a conscious way. We all know this. Change your thinking, change your life. It's the power of thought. We get ideas, we get thoughts, and then we put them out into... All of this I'm talking about is inside ourselves. This circle that I had to draw on the page is inner space. Inner space. It's all inside ourselves. But now we're coming to the point where we're using what's inside ourselves to create our external reality. And it comes out in the form of words. We think, we get ideas, we make plans, we imagine, and we speak the words. And because the power is comes through the word, the creative power of the universe comes through the word. And that is how we create our experience. Before the meeting started, I was thinking, well, the energy's wrong here. I'll need to move my seat so that I'm not looking at empty chairs. And then I realized I can use the power of my thought, my word, my prayer to create what I want, which is a balance in the room. Here's a little statement that I don't quite know where it fits in, but I like it and I don't want to leave it out. Sacred lives where there are no names and no labels. We buy into names and labels and titles all our life. I'm a minister, I'm ordained, I'm a practitioner, I'm a nurse, I'm a this, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a child, a daughter, a son, I'm a student. We buy into names and labels and allow those labels to limit us. And a lot of the work I do traveling around the country, it might not seem very profound, but it is profound in a way because I listen to people who are not clear about where they're going in their ministry. Practitioners and ministers mainly call me. And I listen to them. And then I turn around and I tell them, what you're doing is wonderful. Who you are is wonderful. Why are you worried about what that person thinks or that organization thinks? The only person you should be worried about what they think is the presence within you. What is mine to do? I tell them to use that statement. And it helps people to shift off the dime, and it gives people, I go around the country giving people permission. Oh, you want to do this? You want to have a study group? Great, go for it. You want to do this? You want to start a new church? Go for it. I support you. I give everyone permission to do everything because, you know, that's how I see it. Now, Troward has a term, and he has a term called livingness. Livingness. And I read this whole book, or this isn't Troward, but Troward wrote one called The Hidden Power, which is similar. And Ernest Holmes uses a lot of Troward anyway, so it's the same thing. But I was reading in Troward last night, a reading about Troward in a little book I've got called Essays of Troward. And he talks about livingness. And what is livingness? If that isn't the result we want from living a conscious life, I don't know what is. It's about having the peace we want, the poise, the prosperity, fulfillment, happiness, satisfaction. All of those words, in essence, is having a life that works. That's what livingness is about. It's having a life that works. I just want to make sure that I haven't missed out any gems. If you are looking at the statement, God, what is mine to do? The way you get your answer is you go into the stillness. Eckhart Tolle wrote a book, Stillness Speaks. And it is indeed true that if you stay in the stillness, it will speak to you. And what it will say to you is, well, it won't say this to you because it said this to me. Hillary, today is the day you go out and buy a motorhome. I drove from Sterling to Pennsylvania the day I heard that little injunction. Today is the day you get on the road and you head for wherever. It'll say something different to you because my journey isn't your journey and your journey isn't my journey. But you'll find the answer in the stillness. Sometimes you can go into the stillness when you're doing just your ordinary life. You're just sitting there knitting away quietly. And all of a sudden you slip into the stillness and you get the answer, what is yours to do next? Now, if you get that answer loud and clear, what is yours to do? Don't let anybody tell you, one, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you can't do it now, da 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 da. Don't listen to that. Only listen to the voice within. I tell you, lots of suffering goes away when you only listen to the voice within. If you listen to the voices outside yourself, they'll tell you you're not good enough, you're not doing it right, da, 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 whatever they tell you. My mother was the one for telling me, if only you style your hair this way, and if only you'd wear a different something or other, and if you ate differently, and if you exercise, you know, my mother knew exactly what I should be doing. And of course, being contrary, I didn't do it anyway. So, but don't. It's not other people's business to know what's right for you. So I think I'm done now. Just to summarize, how do we use this awesome power? Conscious use of universal mind of God. through our individual use of it, through our thinking, and through the choices we make. The biggest result of all, a life that works for all of us, results in freedom. That is my watchword. That's the only thing I want in life, is freedom. Freedom. A freedom to be who I'm meant to be, go where I'm meant to go, do what I'm meant to do. It's all about freedom. Isn't there a song about that? It's all about freedom. I don't know. There's some song somewhere about that. Anyway, I want to finish on a quieter note. Because I've got 0 minutes left, David tells me. I want to finish on a quieter note with a prayer. And this prayer, it's just actually a very short prayer, and I don't think it was written by as a prayer, but it was written by our director, Connie, and it was published as part of the Daily Word in the Science of Mind magazine in 2007 and 2003. Yes, 2003. So I just ask you now to just close your eyes and know that what you've got written on your circle, it's your perception. It's your beginning place today. And know that in Connie's words, make them your words, today I take one more gentle step in knowing the true value of my life. I am willing to be guided. I trust the graceful unfolding of my own path. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you.
You're welcome.